It is now my pleasant privilege to announce the speaker for our welcome to you, Brother Lloyd Gaddy, who I'm sure will make you feel that you're glad to be here, as glad as we are to have you here, Brother Lloyd.
Yes, indeed. It's a wonderful privilege for us to be with you this evening and to welcome you here to this 44th Annual Winter's Convention. And as we have had the privilege of making up this schedule, part of it, and as Brother Emil and I, and seeing all of you here, if it were not for your coming, we couldn't have this lovely convention and to have the fellowship of kindred minds. When we are gathered together in a place of this, like in convention, we might say that God's word is spoken here. And that's what we come here to be fellowshipping and to be built up in the most holy estate that we can find this side of the veil. To fellowship with those of kindred minds and to be uplifted by the words of the Bible and of our brethren, or an encouragement from their experiences, as we will hear later on this evening in the testimony, and from perhaps someone being immersed into the narrow way by water immersion, to experience these many things that we have only as can come to pass through a convention. What lovely time it is for one to symbolize their consecration. And for you and I, as well, as we come into the end of this year and to the beginning of a new year, to thank God for all the many bountiful blessings that He has bestowed upon us this year, whether they be trials, whether they be a blessing in other manner, either spiritual or physical. But it's time for us to, at this season of the year, to praise God and to thank Him for all the many bountiful blessings that He has bestowed upon us, even to this same time. The Word of God, the Bible, has become our textbook. We are a people of God. And this is the way that He has shown us that we can have fellowship with Him, is through His Word. And so, as we come together in a convention, why, one of the brothers will exhort us from one portion of the text, another brother from still yet another portion. All of these things help us to be rounded spiritually, that we might make our calling and election sure. This is perhaps the greatest work of our lives, is our daily relationship to God through our Heavenly Father. Each day that we live in communion with Him through His Word, this is our way of communion to Him. Reading the Scriptures And as he opens these scriptures to our hearts and minds, what joy and how thrilling it really is to see the plan of God unfold more clearly perhaps to us than it ever has before. Those words that are in the scriptures ultimately become our words. They become a part of us. And therefore we can go about in our daily activities proclaiming those words, the words of truth that God has given us. He has imparted this great truth to us for a very special and particular purpose. And that is not only for the setting of ourselves apart from the world, but also to a witness to those that hear those words, to proclaim, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And as we come together on such an occasion, it's an inspiration to all of us to hear these words spoken. They become deeper ingrained within our hearts and minds that we may go forth with this message that God has given us. To preach ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Perhaps the main purpose of these words is not perhaps just to tell others, but it may be deeper rooted within our hearts and to set us apart for more clearly for His service. That it not only do we have these things within our hearts and minds, but to be able to act upon those things that we learn to be joined participators as our Lord became this one as our example. And truly no greater example, as all of us know, was given than that of our Lord Jesus and His experiences. This scripture in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And as it were, this is an outline for us. An outline as we see our life there before mankind and before God, plain and open. These words are helpful to us as instruction and correction in righteousness. Things may not happen just exactly the way that we would like them to happen or we think they should happen. But God knows our hearts and our relationship to Him. He also knows our endeavor to put these things to practice within us. And this is what it's all about. That the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. No negative thoughts there at all, but an intention of seeking to know God's will more perfectly, day by day. And this is each of our experience, our joy, and our peace, and it is our life. These words that are spoken to us, we take them as individually. We put them within our hearts and respond upon them. Therefore, we are a people set aside, apart from the world. We're a people of God, if you will. That's quite a brazen statement. But we feel as though that God has called us, every one of us, out of the darkness of the world and instilled within each of us a desire to have a relationship, a close relationship with Him through His Son, Christ Jesus. And certainly as God has touched each of our hearts, He has brought us to this point in life when we made a consecration that we wanted to do the will of God, that this was the ultimate thing within us. And that's why we're here. We're here in this classroom to receive instruction, correction, and to be lifted up spiritually through our brethren, through the Word of God. We also are to proclaim this message of truth, of salvation for all mankind, to those who have hearing ears. And to have its sanctifying power within us to set us aside more completely for that work. These words that we hear are very special, and we are to make the application within our lives, whether anyone else knows anything about it or not. It's an individual matter. Your relationship with God and my relationship with God is an individual matter. Perhaps no one else might know of that relationship except our brethren, our very close associates, those who have shared this great high calling with us. But there's joy in the knowing that there are others there running in the same race with us, seeking for that same goal, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And as we come together on occasion such as this, in this classroom, to be instructed, what joy we have in fellowship together with those of kindred minds, discussing certain scriptures, comparing them with other scriptures, and perhaps getting just a little different slant upon that thought. Not that God's truth changes at all, but that we might have a little deeper appreciation of that great truth that He has given us. We know that God's Word has always accomplished its purpose here in the earth. And He spake intimately with many. Well, we go back to Adam, where He spoke to him in the cool of the afternoon. He spoke to Moses. And I suppose that if you were to look into an accordance, just recently I had an experience to do that, that you would find that perhaps it said that God spake with Moses more than any other one that He was recorded in the scriptures. Even to the point of where it said that he spoke to him face to face. Let us read a couple of scriptures here in Exodus, to begin with, the sixth chapter, in verse 2. It says, "And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob." And he was telling him, "By the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." In the 33rd chapter of Exodus, the 11th verse, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned away into the camp," and so on. We know yet that God did not really speak as you and I speak together, because the scripture in 33rd chapter in the 20th verse says differently. "And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And so we know that the communion was there, the communication. And there was Abraham, and the promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Let us read Genesis 17, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. "When Abram was 90 years old," and 99 years in other words, "the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, and walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations," and so on. We know the promise of the Abrahamic covenant. And yet, we know that Abraham was the father of the faithful. And he made a covenant with Abraham of the seed. "In thee and in thy seed shall I bless all the families of the earth." Of course, we know, as the New Testament scripture become enlightened to us, the seed became the Christ. Not as of seeds of many, but as of one, which is the Christ. And so we have become familiar with God speaking to his people. He spoke to Samuel. He spoke to our Lord. Appeared him after the baptism of John and told him that he was great and he was proud of that relationship. And so we do think of the intimate relationship that we have through those ones of old as spoken by the Word. And this is what we have. It says that the prophets spoke as they were moved by the power of God, and they wrote as they were moved by the power of God. And so they left these things for us, that we might have a relationship as well. In this 17th chapter of John's Gospel, and the 20th verse brings out that thought. These are our Lord's own words as he prayed that evening before he knew that his time had come. Neither pray I for these alone, as he prayed for those that were there, the disciples that were at hand at that time, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And so as we see the promulgation of the truth, the passing on of the word from time to time all down through the gospel age, we see the relationship that was in helping to encourage our brethren all down through the age. These words, God's words, became our promises. And they became, these words became our inspiration, promises. As we review a few scriptures here in the 8th chapter of Romans, just for an example, 14th verse says, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we call or cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children or the sons of God. If children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." There's always that if, isn't there? There's a stipulation for us to carry out this covenant of sacrifice, to be joint heirs with the great one, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be on that plane of being with God as a divine being. No wonder it is stated that the high calling of God, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, how great this call. How few the participants. Some of us come from large cities. And how large are our groups in these larger cities? How many people there, how many brethren there really are there that come together to worship God, to study together, as you and I have come here to study together? A very small percentage. And that's why that the scriptures state that his people are a little flock, but how precious they are unto him. Each one individually, called of God, where it says that he placed the members in the body as it pleaseth him, every one of them. And so we see before us this great call and the activity of that word, the testimony of God's word here. Heard something drop, and that's my watch. It still has time, but I see that it's a good thing I picked it up. We're just about time for Brother Richard Sarossi here. So I hope with these words, in conclusion, we'll read one more scripture. In James, the first chapter, and the 17th and 18th verses, every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat us he us with the word of truth. This great word that we were speaking of, the testimony that had gone forth from God to accomplish his purpose, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so as we sit here these 3 days, along with this evening as a good start above that, we shall enjoy these words spoken from our brethren here upon this platform. And may the Lord's power of his Holy Spirit bring about that spiritual blessing as those words are spoken to us intimately, as though it were from the mouth of God, and the Lord had his blessing.